The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Well, let's start the insanity. Giddy up.
New York Bozo! New York Bozo!
Yeah, boy. 40 to 14. Just like we all expected, the Packers leave the Titans tundra struck at a snowy Lambeau Field. I think the camera's frozen. I think that Matub is cringing, but.
No, I'm here. Well,
you're there, okay? It froze right as you were like possibly reacting to my terrible pun, and it was a face that said, oh, that was a rough one. But anyway, I am Zach Rapport, at Zach Rapport on Twitter. Follow the show at the APC Pod on Twitter. This is the APC Podcast. We are two schlitz to the wind here on our rapid recap show. The final whistle echoing, we'll call it 20 minutes ago. Again, 40 to 14, the Packers over the Titans. I am Zach Rapport. I'm joined by Matub, who is wearing a very festive sweater. How are you, man?
I'm great. My ugly sweater is 3-0.
Nice.
So, undefeated, well, baby.
Yep. And actually only worn in non-gimme games, so I'm feeling the good juju.
Close calls only. It's not a power to be abused. I appreciate that you only break it out when the rules allow for it.
It has to be a close game, and it has to be the holiday season. So Thanksgiving or later.
I like it. The other voice you just heard there was our corporate overlord, Evan Tex Western. The threesome back again, together again. How are you, man?
Man, I haven't had that much fun watching a Packers game in a long time.
You were like just before the game, I texted you like, hey, you want to be in on this post game? You're like, ah, the in-laws are in town. I can't do it. And then by the third quarter, you're like, I'm in, baby. Let's talk.
Yeah, a couple of pieces of pumpkin pie and a couple of old fashions will do that to you.
Yeah, what do you got, two drinks here with you right now? What's the deal?
Yeah, man? I'm double fisting. I made a brandy old fashioned at halftime because I felt like after last week with the Panthers and everything that happened in the second half, we needed some good juju to start flowing in the third quarter. Yeah. And then I poured a dram of whiskey as well. So it's going very well over here at Shea Western.
Yeah, I tweeted out at halftime just to remind the Packers that there was, in fact, two more quarters of football left to play and that we would all kindly appreciate it if they would go ahead and do that.
I think they did. I think they did, guys.
I think they did, too. That was what some might call a complete game. I'll be damned.
You know, it's funny. This is the quintessential they read the tweets game. Like, Savage was good. Preston was good. Like, basically everyone that you, like, tweet about was good. And so
Patton was good.
Yeah, well, Patton did have one where he had like Kirksey over the middle 10 yards deep on 3rd and 7. But, you just, old habits die hard.
Patton gonna Patton, you know. let's start with the most important topic. Chris Collinsworth. So, like, where are we on the on the love-hate spectrum for Chris Collinsworth? Because I at first I liked him. Then I really hated him. And I think I've come all the way back around to liking just his, like, he's just very self-aware about his goofiness. I don't know. I think it's an unpopular opinion, but I think I like him.
I definitely started out as a Collinsworth fan. And then just steadily as the years have gone by, my level of appreciation and like for Collinsworth has gradually gone down little by little by little. I don't know what it is. I can't even put my finger on it. It just, I don't know. There were a couple of cringy moments tonight though.
So my relationship with Collinsworth was similar, but then it started to climb back up just because of how terrible a lot of other people are in the booth.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh my God, Collinsworth is literally like top three booth.
I don't have to listen to Greg Jennings. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So yay, Collinsworth. But in the post, Pro Football Focus buyout era of Chris Collinsworth is just horrible. Hey guys, did you know that I spent a whole bunch of money on Pro Football Focus? So here's some Pro Football Focus. Did I mention Pro Football Focus?
Stats, 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 stats. Speaking of stats, is there a stat to back this up? The next second most important question I have for you guys before we actually get into actual game stuff. The Titans win the toss and they defer. What's the deal with deferring? Why does everyone defer?
I like it. I've always been a proponent of deferring and getting the ball to start the second half, to especially with the Packers' propensity to double up over the last couple of years. I'm a huge fan of that. That's always the way I would go.
But are there stats to back that up to tie in Pro Football Focus, or that's just thing?
I have no idea. That's entirely anecdotal on my part.
So from the Madden perspective, right? Like everyone always says that in Madden, you should defer because it's like stealing a possession in a game that's 10 minutes long, 10 minutes of play time. The potential of stealing possession is massive. With the way the Packers have been playing, fairly slow, fairly methodically, the being able to time your possession to potentially get the double dip is absolutely game changing. And that's the thing, is it's like if you manage to pull the elusive double dip, big if, 14 point swing and almost no time is huge. However, there's all the ifs. Like you have to time it, you have to do it. But without deferring, if you don't score on your opening possession, you just screwed yourself out of a 10%. Essentially an extra possession.
Yeah.
So notable in this game, the Titans double dipped. They scored with 43 seconds left in the second quarter, and they scored on the opening drive of the second half. And those were the only two scoring drives that they had in the entire game.
Well, I was going to say, as we were talking about setting up the double dip and stealing a possession, I mean, this is definitely there is a reason that the Titans chose to defer. They wanted to play Titans football. And I think the Packers did a good job somehow of taking them out of that. I mean, Derrick Henry did get 98 yards, but that felt like a very quiet 98 yards.
He got 98 yards with 4.3 a carry.
His long carry in the game was 10 yards.
Yeah.
That was maybe the best performance from the Packers run defense of the Pettin era. And I don't think I'm being hyperbolic in that, except for the Tannehill run, but that's a whole different thing.
Oh, man, that was an enraged. That was the one time where I shook my fist and went Pettin, because I just felt like, you know, it probably wasn't his fault, but let's just blame him.
Oh, here you go. I got a stat for you. Bill Belichick has chosen to defer 95% of the time.
that's a real stat.
That's a real stat.
Good Lord.
So
that tells Bill me Belichick, it's probably the right thing to do.
Yeah.
How's his team doing?
Well, touche.
Okay. Oh my goodness.
That was good. Touché. It was quick witted, my friend.
Thank you. Well, I'm like half of this is like a little homespun margarita. I'm halfway through and we're ready to rock. Let's talk real football. Things happened on the field. It was a sloppy field, but things happened. Firstly, the return of Corey Linsley to center. Jenkins moves back to guard. I thought they did a great job. I think this will sort of tie into AJ Dillon obviously having a breakout game, but Linsley back seemed like thought it was going to be a big deal, and I think it turned out that way. Tex, what do you think?
Yeah, I was very happy that they pulled Lucas Patrick. No offense to Lucas Patrick, who is a very good backup interior lineman, but I was glad that they went with the fivesome that included both Billy Turner at right guard and Rick Wagner at right tackle for the bulk of the game and to start, because I thought that was definitely going to be the best five that they could put out there with Linsley, with him being back. And the pass blocking held up well. I think there was one sack in the game that they allowed, and that was kind of a weird fourth down thing anyway. And so, yeah, I mean, they were great. They were great blocking for Rodgers, and they really were tremendous in paving the way for the run game on that sloppy field.
Yeah. Can we talk about, speaking of the run game, AJ Dillon, Quadzilla, who coined that one?
I think the first person I saw say it was Peter Bukowski. I think our Chris Burke from Acme Packing Company predicted this week that he was going to have 125 yards and that we were going to start nicknaming him the snowplow from now on. So I'm going to start going with the snowplow, at least through.
He got 124 yards.
He was, yeah, that's one close. Yard off. Good on you, Chris. Well done, sir.
I co-opted that nickname, and I'm calling him Mr. Plow because I'm that's just the way I roll, man.
That was fun to watch, though. I mean, the Packers have not had that big bruising running back since Eddie Lacy. And it was fun to watch him just pinballing off people and beautiful elastic collisions with tacklers that send them flying several yards downfield. It was a lot of fun.
It's funny because it's like the draft class itself was obviously much maligned coming in, and his first few carries of the season, you're maybe thinking like, do the Packers need a player like this? Yes, they do, because December.
Yes.
Yeah. I have nothing to add to that.
I'm still confused about taking H back at the top 100, but AJ Dillon, I'm okay with.
Seems like he's okay. What else we got? I'm just going down a list here. I normally have a script and I don't have a script today. So I'm just going down a list of like drunken observations in the game. Did you guys know that Ryan Tannehill used to play wide receiver?
Did you guys know he went
I've
to
heard
Harvard?
That once or twice.
Oh my God. You know, the first few possessions of the game, like the first Packers score a touchdown, they miss that PAT. And then the second touchdown, they go for two to try to make up the difference and they miss that too. And I just, at that moment, I hate to be the pessimistic Packers fan, but I just thought like, this is a lead that is going to get whittled away. I don't know if either of you felt that same way.
Yeah, I kind of felt like they were chasing those points a little early. The only thing there being that, you know, that first kick looked wonky. It didn't look like it was anything bad from Crosby. It looked like maybe the wind caught it or something and took it a little funny. But then it was pretty clear from then on that going, you know, from right to left, as the TV angle looked, it seemed to be the more favorable angle from a win perspective. So I don't know. I don't know if that played into it. I don't know if LaFleur really was just chasing that miss point. But yeah, I kind of had the same sort of, what are we doing here? I'm not quite okay with chasing that point just yet. So I feel you there a little bit.
Matub, you were just like, I got the holiday sweater. I'm not sweating it.
The dorks say that it was the right call. So I'm team dork there.
Hashtag team dork.
With Crosby's extra point percentage this year and then already missing one, it wasn't necessarily chasing points. It was playing the numbers, at least in my opinion. Yeah. Like I get it.
Yeah.
I get both sides of the argument, but I think that in a snow globe game, if your kicker misses one extra point, it's worth going for it again or going for the two, but up the middle. Ugh. I hated the play call.
The shot. Oh, yeah. Not a fan of the shotgun run kind of up the middle with Aaron Jones.
No, get that all the way out of here.
Like, yeah. Like, okay. You're the king of tricky routes to get someone wide open in the flat. Like, why not just do that? Like Matt LaFleur gets people open with a mile of green grass in front of him. This time you just need 6 feet of green grass in front of him.
Is that less than a mile?
Last I checked.
You heard it here first, folks. 6 feet is less than 1 mile.
I want to talk about Aaron Jones for a second because AJ Dillon is obviously going to be the talk of the town, 21 carries for 124 yards, and his first two career touchdowns with bad Lambo leap attempts, by the way. But let's give some props to Aaron Jones, 10 carries for 94 yards. That's 9.4 yards a carry. And I believe, text check my math on this, that he surpassed 1,000 yards on the season.
He did. He did indeed. And he did it on that 59-yard run that should have been about a 35-yarder.
Let's talk about that.
That was real fun because it's a really good thing that happened up the Packers sideline and not up the Titans sideline, because I guarantee you that if that had gone up the opposite sideline, that would have gotten challenged and it would have come back to probably whatever, you know, the 30-yard line or something where he stepped out instead of taking it down inside the 10 and then going down for an easy touchdown after that. But certainly, you know, helps one of my fantasy teams. Sorry, that's the only fantasy mention I'll mention today. But
well, you know what, though? There is a relevant fantasy mention here.
That's true.
Tex and I are playing against each other in the APC championship, where I will admit live on air that I have not set my lineup all year.
Breaking news. Loser limps into the playoffs without having set his lineup.
And my team went 6-7 and beat the 1 seed and the 2 seed, I think, on the way to the finals. So it was destined.
And I had a good year and all of my wins were convincing.
I am so glad that I have not played fantasy football. Now this is my second straight year of not playing fantasy football, and I have never felt better about being a football fan.
There's so much less stress involved of just watching games and not have to feel like, hey, I really need T. Higgins to get no more than 3 catches and 50 yards.
You know what the thing for me was, though, like anytime I'm watching any game, the fantasy football does make like every game interesting, which is cool. But anytime an injury would happen, my immediate thought would be, how does this affect fantasy? Which is not how I want to live my life as a human being. So that was really, that happened one too many times. And I thought, you know what? This is not who I want to be. We're going to stop that.
Back to the point at hand, Aaron Jones stepping out of bounds. We all admit, we all saw it. The Packers ran a play as fast as humanly possible so as to not, because he probably ran up and went, hey, you know, Rodgers, I just stepped out of bounds. We got to like run a sweep here or something.
Yeah, it was
like,
obvious.
Everyone who is not a Packer fan is big mad about it.
Like, it happens all the time. Also, there were a few fans there, but I imagine they're like deliberately not showing a replay there, and then they hustle and they get the playoff. I don't know. I feel like that happens not too infrequently. I mean, it was a gift for sure. He definitely stepped out of bounds, but like, come on, man.
But like, for
cool your jets, man.
For every egregious pro Packers thing, there were egregious anti Packers things. Like, you can go tit for tat. That's just how officiating goes. Officials are human. It happens.
Yeah. I do want to switch over to the defense and talk about them for a little bit. But first, we have to pause on Aaron Rodgers, who we basically haven't really mentioned yet. 21 of 25 for 231 and 4 touchdowns. 3 of those to Devontae Adams. Oh, ho-hum, big yawn. Just a 142-yard, 3-touchdown game from Devontae Adams. I mean, this was like... this is like exactly what you needed to see from this team at this point in the season, and we got it. I didn't think we would get it, in all honesty, and we got it.
It was freaking artwork between those two at times. Like, a couple of those throws up the sideline. It certainly seemed like after Rodgers threw that late pick to Malcolm Butler and Butler did the belt celebration, which, okay, do that after your team is down 20 points in the middle of the fourth quarter. It seemed like that Rodgers wanted to send him a message that no, we're not doing this. And so a couple of those late throws to Adams were just obscene. But I mean, the guy's got 1300 yards in 13 games and now has 17 touchdowns this season. He scored 15 touchdowns in the last 10 games. That's ridiculous.
It's absurd.
Best receiver in football. I don't care.
So he's going to take 2 team records next week, right?
Catches for sure. And so catches, probably touchdowns.
Yeah. So touchdown record's 18, catches is 112. So he needs 1 touchdown to tie, 2 to beat it, and 3 catches to tie and 4 to beat it. So like, I think
see ya, Sterling.
Yeah, sorry. You know what's funny though is one of his touchdowns was the dreaded wide receiver screen.
I tweeted about that. I tweeted that he scored touchdowns on my 2 least favorite pass routes, the wide receiver screen and the corner fade. I'm just like, at that point, just kill me now. I'll die happy.
The corner fade, though, that ball, as soon as it left his fingers, I thought, that is an amazing pass. It was just beautiful from the get.
It was. And it's still a low percentage route.
There's 2 kinds of corner fades. There's the Jimmy Graham corner fade where I'm going to throw it up and my guy's bigger than you. And then there's the, I'm going to throw it where only my receiver can get it kind of corner fade. And you need the chemistry that they have to do that kind of corner fade, which I'm fine with that kind of corner fade. Cause really, let's just call it a lazy out route. Like we're just going to say it's a lazy out route because it's a timing play. And it's not an athleticism play. It's not Brandon Marshall versus a 5'8" corner kind of thing. Like that takes.
That sounds like a good blog series on APC. What certain plays should actually be called?
So this is John Gruden calls this a banana. I'm going to call it a lazy out.
Oh man. Let's talk about defense because maybe it's like the weather.
This game was the worst thing that could happen to the future of the Packers because it cements Mike Patton's job.
You're that person. I mean, to me, it just cements Jair Alexander as a fucking all pro, man. That guy's nuts.
He was nuts. Darnell Savage is a goddamn budding star. That guy could have had two or three pick sixes in this game. He had the one pick that he did get. But he could have taken two of them, maybe three of them to the house. What happened that the light bulb turned on for him about 6-8 weeks ago. But man, he's been good. He has been fun to watch.
Yeah. Preston Smith had a great game a couple months ago. I think a lot of fans were complaining about the disappearance of Preston Smith. And here's someone who, I mean, in this game, he was blocking passes. He was stopping the run. He seemed to be affecting like every other play. Like if he wasn't in on the play itself, he was causing the madness.
He's making it hard now again with this last month or so. He's going to make it a very difficult decision in March for when the Packers need to figure out how the hell to get down under the lower salary cap. Because mid-season we were talking about him as a no-brainer cap casualty.
Yeah.
And he still might end up, getting cut for cap reasons, but he's certainly making that a harder decision now than it was a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
I think while I agree that he has improved greatly, I think the emergence of Gary has made the cutting of Preston much easier.
Yeah.
Yeah. Another guy who made a big difference in this game, had some sacks, but also was just sort of affecting the play as Patton likes to say. And I think in general, both the Smiths and Gary had a hell of a game kind of getting to Tannehill, getting some sacks, but also just like causing some bad throws and some off timing stuff.
Yep. Well, yeah, I think, Christian Kirksey had a pick. That one came off of, I think that was a, was that a Rashawn Gary or was that a Preston Smith pressure? I don't remember which.
I don't recall.
Gary.
Yeah. Okay. So, and I think I saw Gary had 5 pressures at least, a couple of hits. It was a team effort, from the pass rush. All three of those guys were tremendous and they were all great against the run too. I mean, they were, for the most part, they were doing a great job setting edges. The Tannehill run was really the only major malfunction of the run defense in the entire game. So yeah, you got to tip your hat to those guys for doing a really good job of corralling the biggest advantage, literally and figuratively, that the Titans have in Derrick Henry.
Yeah. Coming into this game, I would have said that if they could keep Henry under like 130 yards, it'd be like, yeah, that was a pretty good day at the office. So 98 yards. Do you see anything from the defense that they did differently or especially for this game that maybe they can carry into other games? Because where has this run defense been?
Well, I did notice they were playing a lot more base personnel, which makes sense. It makes sense doing it against this team in these weather conditions, knowing that Tennessee is going to want to come out and establish the run and really get Henry going. So you saw a lot of Chris Barnes and Kamal Martin early. You saw Martin kind of rotating with Christian Kirksey. So, fewer of the 6 DB alignments, personnel packages, and, more base and nickel. So I think that was definitely a concerted effort on their part to really actually sell out against the run, which is one of the first times that I can ever think of Mike Patton actually being willing to do that.
Yeah.
So I'm looking at Derrick Henry's stats right now. And there's a couple games where he got run into the ground. So I'll just say compare them to games where he had 20 carries, but fewer than 30. This looks like this was his worst performance.
Yeah, I think, they obviously paid special attention to dealing with Henry in particular, but the snow had to impact his performance.
Yeah, the other thing I think that was really notable is that they were getting their hands on a lot of passes too. I don't know if they played a little more man. We'll have to, maybe see when the all 22 comes out, but it seemed like they were in a lot closer coverage on receivers than they normally were. It seemed like there was a little more blitzing, a little more effort in dialing up some pressure on Tannehill. And maybe that led to playing a little more man coverage. And, that's something that, Kevin King's better in man than in zone. And Jair got his hands on a whole bunch of footballs. So I think that maybe that's a blueprint for more success for this team.
Why were they throwing at Jair so much?
I have no idea. Why would anybody throw at Jair?
there was this pass. I think it was Jonnu Smith. I think he was running a comeback route, and Collinsworth called it out, and he goes, "Jair broke on the ball before he broke on the ball."
Yeah, he ran his route for him.
It's amazing he only has one interception this year, and that came in week one against Minnesota. It's crazy that he doesn't have more picks, but I think part of it is teams just don't want to throw to him.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I think that's one of those things where I would not be surprised if that's a regression thing and he ends up getting like a bunch of picks in a row. The next couple weeks, maybe he gets hands on a couple of Trubisky passes next week and gets a big one in the postseason or something. That wouldn't surprise me.
So, and that's the thing is interceptions tend to be more of a opportunity stat. Mm-hmm. And only recently have people been throwing at him again and he's getting pass breakups and eventually those become interceptions.
He's so damn fun to watch though. I love the swag. The swag is so much fun. Like, I don't remember if it was, I think there was a Corey Davis play where he was right up in Davis's grill. And Davis is like a 6'2", 6'3", receiver. I mean, yeah. He's a big guy. And he's got, 5 inches on Jair. And he's just up jawing in his face. He is so damn fun to watch. I love it.
Hey, did you guys know Ryan Tannehill used to play wide receiver?
but did you know he was at Harvard?
Mm-hmm.
Are you good Lord?
We have broken text.
Corporate overlord is down.
Are you jokingly conflating him and Ryan Fitzpatrick or
I don't even know what we're talking about anymore.
Cause Ryan Fitzpatrick was the one who went to Harvard, not Ryan Tannehill.
He was the one who went to Harvard. Right. Yeah. It's correct.
I'm purposely.
Okay.
I'm still thinking about Tannehill's or not. Geez, now you got me purposely screwing them up. I'm still thinking about that Fitzpatrick pass to win the game against the Raiders.
That was amazing.
Might be the best pass I've ever seen.
Yeah.
But yes, Ryan Tannehill outran Kevin King in a straight line. That
happened.
That really. Hey, there's a good ref example. On the play before that, to set up the read option, Preston Smith got fish hooked. He got held so bad, he got clotheslined.
Definitely holding.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Z got held pretty bad on the touchdown at the end of the first half, too.
Yeah.
Where Tannehill escaped and threw it to Johnny Smith.
So there you go. The refs gave us 30 yards, but they gave them 2 touchdowns.
Yeah. You guys want to go online and complain about it? Should we just wrap this and get online and start trolling people?
I'm literally doing that as we record. I didn't know I was supposed to stop.
You're not doing that already? No, as we established last time, you are a multitasker. I'm sitting here with like half a drink and a list of topics. Like, what do we talk about next?
That's why you got multiple monitors, man. I'm trolling on one. I got you guys on the other.
I have multiple monitors. I just can't. I've only got one brain.
Well, there's one other stat that I thought was crazy tonight, and the Packers only had 8 third down opportunities the entire game. They converted 4 of them, so they converted half of them. They had 27 first downs, But they only had 8 third down opportunities the entire game.
That's absurd.
That's nuts.
Well, there was a good stat early on that was like AJ Dillon has 2 second and 10 runs and he's averaging 10 yards a carry on second and 10.
Matt LaFleur really loves to run the ball on second and long.
I wish my wife loved me as much as LaFleur loves running on second and 10.
If only I could have that kind of love and adoration. I think it's about time to call it. You guys have a, do you have a good Christmas, a good holiday, whatever it is you're doing?
I got a smoker.
Ooh, nice. Top got a smoker. What's the first thing you're throwing in there?
Cheese.
Pair of flip-flops? Oh, cheese. Okay, that's better. Not smoking the flip-flops. Probably don't want to do that.
I got a mostly functioning fireplace, so I'll take that.
Is that a smoke alarm I hear in the background?
No, thank goodness.
Just text be like, there's a hole in my wall that you can put fire in, and then the rest of my house doesn't set on fire. So, like, I'm good.
Oh, you got one of them fire holes.
And most of the rest of my house doesn't smell like smoke. So, hey, we're in business.
Win, win, win. All right, guys, I think that is going to do it. Thanks for joining and drinking, I think, collectively 5 drinks between us in this past 31 minutes. The Packers over the Titans, 40-14, just like we all thought it would be at Lambeau Field. And now they play the Bears, the final game of the season. And Tex, you're always better at this than I am, but I thought that they basically had the one seed wrapped up at this point, but there's some weird circumstances, right?
Yeah, so as long as the Packers win on Sunday, they get the one seed. If they lose and if both of the Saints and Seahawks win, the Packers will not have the one seed. I'm sorry, if the Packers lose and the Seahawks win, it doesn't even matter what the Saints do. The Seahawks would be ahead of the Packers in the seeding. So basically beat the Bears, get a bye. Everything comes through Lambeau before the Super Bowl. So just let's just do that.
Sounds like a plan to me. At Tex Western on Twitter, at Call Me Matub on Twitter. I am at Zach Rapport. Follow the show at the APC Pod. This has been our rapid recap show. Hope everyone had a wonderful holiday. It is late here, so I'm going to hit this little thing that says outro on my board. I'm going to play some air guitar. And I'm going to go to bed, man. 40-14. Go, you Packers, go. My goodness. Woo. I make podcasts.